Welcome back in. Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, David James here with you on this Wednesday morning. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll have Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel dropping by at 7:30. We'll get into a little Tennessee basketball with him. Also, a contract extension for Josh Heupel yesterday, so we'll talk about that as well. Good day for Josh Heupel.
$4 million to start, and he's at $9 million, and he's already more than doubled his money.
Making some cash.
2 years. More than doubled his money.
Pretty good stuff from Josh Heupel, no question about it. So we'll get into all that with Mike Wilson coming up at 7:30. Right now, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines. Joe, just to put a bow for the moment on this Rodgers and Brady discussion, a few texts I'd like to get to on the text line. Drew on the text line says, the Rodgers and Brady discussions are like watching a bad soap opera. It looks great by appearance, but the acting just doesn't add up. Dropping a few key players with high salary caps, buy an offensive line in the free agency, and you can draft high to get one of the top quarterbacks in the draft. Plug in a good wide receiver and corner in the mix, and you can look forward to a brighter future. I say Stroud, or maybe by chance Hooker falls into the second round. You grab him. David on the text line says, I think the Titans can put together a starting 22 that would entice Brady. Trade for Dillard at left tackle, re-sign Nate Davis, move Brewer to center, and NPF at right tackle. Then you have high picks in the first three rounds for day one starters at wide receiver, linebacker, and left guard. The issue next year will be, again, the depth when injuries occur. And then finally, Shane in the Borough says, Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers all morning. Are we going to get some talk about unicorns and wizards today to round out the conversation? This is from Shane in the Borough on the text line.
And I said, maybe hobbits. And you said Harry Potter hour. And he said Bilbo Baggins and Voldemort. Woohoo!
Three very different thoughts on the text line there from the Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers discussion. David says, yep, I think it can work. I think we can make it happen. Drew says go draft a quarterback, and Shane's talking about hobbits and wizards.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, speaking of mythical characters, Andre Dillard better be freaking amazing. Yeah, I know this is like a huge TD thing. Like, TD's been pushing this for a long time. But, like, is that – I mean, now I'm fully expecting that to happen for him to be a Pro Bowl left tackle.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of talk about him.
I mean, if it's that simple, do it.
Yeah, if that's your answer, then go ahead and do it, I guess. But I have – there's been a lot of – like on Titans Twitter, we've seen in our text line, a lot of love for Dillard out there. So, who knows? Maybe he's that good.
Yeah.
I always get a little hesitant when we start talking about rookies that way, but who knows?
I don't know, man.
615-737-1025. So, with quarterbacks that the Titans are going to have to contend with, we'll see what ends up happening with Brady and Rodgers and where they end up. And in the meantime, you look at the AFC title game this weekend, you have Patrick Mahomes, you have Joe Burrow, both of which the Titans have already seen firsthand in the playoffs to this point, and both of which they've lost to this point. You have Trevor Lawrence in the division with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Herbert in the discussion. You can go up and down the list of quarterbacks. We'll see what happens with Lamar in the AFC as well. I'm interested to know from Titans fans, knowing that at some point you either have to get your own guy at quarterback, or at the very least, regardless of who's your quarterback, you got to go through those guys if you're going to end up going to a Super Bowl. And especially when you start talking about Mahomes and Burrow and Allen, those guys are going to be around for a long time. So it's not just the next 2 years you're going to have to go through them. In some cases, it's maybe the next 10, 12, 15 years that you're going to have to go through those guys in order to get to a Super Bowl. Which quarterback scares you the most right now as you look at it from a Titan standpoint? There's Mahomes, who's been around for seemingly forever at this point, even though he's 27 years old, was the oldest starting quarterback in the AFC to begin playoffs this year, which is quite something that he was the oldest one. You have Joe Burrow, who is going to his second consecutive AFC title game, may go to his second consecutive Super Bowl, and who knows, could win the thing. There's Josh Allen, who I was looking at his numbers over the break, Joe. It was an interesting year from him. He threw 14 picks. He fumbled the ball 15 times. He only lost six of them, but he fumbled the ball 15 times. 35 touchdowns. I mean, he still threw for 4,200 yards. Josh Allen's a very good player, but a lot of turnovers this year from Josh Allen, and obviously they're out again in the divisional round. Still think he's really good. And then there's Herbert and Lawrence and kind of that next crew of quarterbacks as well. Which quarterback scares the Titans fans the most as they look at the AFC picture moving forward here?
Well, I think, you know, one really popular debate around the league right now is, and I saw Orlovsky, by the way, with a really interesting take, but is Burrow or Mahomes, who's better?
Right.
Are they on their own tier? I don't know that I buy that they're on their own tier. I think I'd still put Josh Allen on that tier. But we were talking about this during the break. I think Josh Allen this year looks like a great example of how important a coordinator can be to a quarterback.
Yes.
Brian Daboll, obviously, big part of his development. He developed into a much better player I ever thought he would be when you watch him early in his career. And then you look at how he regressed this last year. You look at what Daniel Jones did with Daboll as his coach, looking like an actual NFL starting quarterback. And you have to say, see, there's something to be said for the importance of coaching. But I still think I would put him up there. And I think Herbert is super talented. You know, I mean, I kind of, and Lamar Jackson, I guess, you know, you could make a case for a five-man tier right there.
I'm comfortable putting Burrow and Mahomes in their own tier.
On their own tier?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would put Allen a little bit below. Not much, but I'm comfortable putting Burrow and Mahomes on their own
tier. So maybe Allen, Herbert, and Jackson would be the next tier down. And the thing is, like, you still – I mean, I have no idea what is going to happen with Deshaun Watson. We know how talented he is. I have no idea. He's one of those. I don't even know how to. I don't even know what to think of him right now moving forward as a player. But a year ago, Russell Wilson would have been argued into that tier, or certainly he's on the second tier. And now, what tier is he on? You know, so that's the thing. That's how fast things can change.
It's Russell Wilson and Malik Willis down there together.
I mean, my gosh, you know. But, hey, maybe I was, you know, thought maybe Harbaugh was going to go fix him, but it didn't happen. The bottom line is, however you want to order these guys, you know, and mix them up, I mean, it's just – that's what it is. Like, this conference is a conference of you better have that guy at quarterback. The other conference is a conference of if you build a team that's really good, you can be great without one of those guys. Does that mean that you can't – you know, get into the neighborhood in the AFC with a great team that has a good quarterback? I don't know.
It's a good question. Now, one of the things that also you have to keep in mind, especially with Burrow, it's different with Mahomes because he's already got his money. But Burrow at some point is going to get paid.
Yep.
And when he gets paid, that's going to change the equation for the Bengals, right? I mean, you're going to have to – not only are you going to have to pay him.
If you think the cap is real.
Well, you're going to have to pay him. And at some point, you're going to have to pay Ja'Marr Chase, too. Gigantic money, because that guy is unbelievable. So right now is kind of the sweet spot for the Bengals in terms of Burrow's on his rookie deal. Chase is on his rookie deal. You've got Higgins. You got a defense that is really good around them. Like, they're in a this is kind of the case study right now of making a case to draft another quarterback. Because if it works out and you get a guy on your rookie deal, you can put together a pretty darn good team around him while they're on their rookie deal. At some point, that's going to change for the Bengals as they move forward here.
Well, I mean, I just mentioned Russell Wilson. Yep. He was a great case study in that in Seattle. They had a tremendous team. Obviously, we know about that defense. I mean, that was – they were a dominant defensive team. But they had, you know, they had a lot of great things around him on a rookie deal and on a rookie second-round deal, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So – yeah, if you can pull it off, that's great. That's why
I think it was maybe third round.
Was he?
I think he was.
So regardless, yeah, it's a huge benefit, and obviously for Burrow, he's the first overall pick. So it's, I mean, certainly like a bigger deal than guys like that. But it's a huge difference between now and what he's going to make. I mean, it's, you know, we've hit your guy Rodgers brought it to the $50 million a year thing. So,
which, I mean, you would think that's going to be like the baseline
moving
forward for some of these other guys. I mean, look, I'm interested to see what happens with Lamar this offseason. Does he get a long-term deal? Does he get tagged? Does he get traded? I don't think he's going to get traded, but we'll see. I'm interested to see what happens with him. I mean, you know, a lot of people say, well, he's kind of like he's a different case. He's a different player. I mean, he still won a league MVP, and he's pretty darn good. So he's going to make a ton of money. Just a question of from who?
League MVP. I mean, someone last week on the Texan, I actually said he can't throw. Like, league MVP leading the league in touchdown passes.
Yeah.
Like, what? No, I mean, it's – and it he's – you know, it's a little different than Mahomes, Burrow. It's a different kind of player, but still. There are a lot of teams around this league who would – glad. I mean, I think they're going to work it out there. But then again, that press conference they had, I mean, what do you expect them to say? It's kind of the same idea of what I was just talking about with Amy Adams Strunk, right? Yeah. There's some things that you're, of course, going to say, and then sometimes things don't work out that way.
So what do you make of the AFC quarterback picture, how the Titans fit into it? Which quarterback scares you the most as a Titans fan as you move forward here? 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll continue that discussion next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel joining us at 7:30 right now, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. William from Madison on the topic of the quarterback that scares Titans fans the most in the AFC moving forward. Which quarterback scares me the most? Trevor Lawrence. You know you got to play him twice a year for the next 12 years. I got another texter on the text line that says, you guys must be forgetting our defense was all over Joe Burrow. If not for three picks, Titans win that game. I'm not really scared of any quarterback when our defense is healthy and back to form. When Bengals pay Joe, their team will lose some players, and the Titans should go after Higgins. It's from an unnamed texter on the text line.
Oh, wow. Going to get Higgins, too. Well, look, you're right about the it wasn't that like. I think in general, as we talk about the Titans, and I have to remind myself sometimes too, like again, a year ago, one seed. Not a fluke. I don't think it was a fluky one seed. They're the one seed. Now, last year, Burrow and the Bengals were just starting to come into their own. I mean, the Titans win, which was definitely gifted by the Titans, but that Titans win kind of started them on this path where now they look – they look like a complete team. Joe Burrow said the other day, this is a much better team than last year, and he's right. Also, they had to, you know, scratch and claw to beat the Titans this year, by the way.
Yep.
Pretty banged up and flawed Titans team. But last year, Mahomes and the Chiefs were a mess because, you know, think about the loss to the Bucs in the Super Bowl. I mean, if you have a bad offensive line, Patrick Mahomes, you can make incredible passes while upside down, but you probably won't win, you know? There's a long way of saying, like, last year, it wasn't fluky the Titans were the one seed. I mean, they were very good, and they were right there. But, like, the Chiefs have kind of figured some things out, even without Tyreek Hill, which is why Mahomes is absolutely the MVP this year.
Yep.
And Burrow and the Bengals are really good. The Bills are going to be – they're still going to be really good. I mean, I saw something like the Bills dynasty – dying or something. Like, first of all, it's not a dynasty. You have to win multiple championships for that word to even be applied ever. Like
maybe even get to an AFC title game. That'd be something.
Yeah, that's right. They haven't even done that, have they?
No.
I keep thinking that was the AFC title game last year, but it wasn't. That was the divisional round. Incredible game. But they're very good. They've had this air of being very good. I think they're going to continue to be. They need to figure out how to run the football. It's funny. Was it their GM the other day who said not going to be signing Von Miller?
Yeah.
Which he said, you know, have you heard of the salary cap? Or maybe I'm lying because it doesn't exist.
Have you heard?
But the Chargers, look at their roster with that quarterback. The Jaguars, pretty good roster. Pretty good young quarterback. And then, you know, I actually feel like, look at what the Bengals have done. I got to say, man, if you're a Ravens fan, this year has got to be such a feel like such a lost opportunity because look what they should have won that game.
Yeah.
With Huntley at quarterback at Cincinnati. Cincinnati, absolutely. I mean, I think right now, I'm not sure they're not going to win it. But that's how close the Ravens are if they don't lose Lamar Jackson. So that's what you're dealing with if you look at the AFC landscape. It's and there's a few other teams that have some good things going that I haven't mentioned.
Well, I said this the other day, and I don't know that this is the case, but people have talked about it, and I can see where they're going with it. I mean, look, this is the fifth consecutive AFC title game for the Chiefs. Fifth. Ever since Patrick Mahomes has taken over as a starting quarterback, all they do is go through the AFC title game or the Super Bowl. It's what they do. So you have that to deal with on the AFC side. Burrow, I think I would still lean Mahomes being the best quarterback in the AFC. I think it's pretty darn close. Joe Burrow is really good. So you're going to have that to contend with over the next few years. And we talked about it the other day. Like some people were making the comparison, is this like Brady and Manning at their height when Brady was with the Patriots and Peyton Manning was at the Colts. I don't know that I'm willing to go there yet, but that's what you have to go through. That's what every team in the AFC had to go through forever was Brady and the Patriots and Peyton Manning and the Colts. And the Titans had to deal with that. Everybody had to deal with that. And it could be what you're facing right now with Mahomes and Burrow. And by the way, then you've got Allen and Jackson and all these other guys we've talked about. Like I've never seen the young crop of quarterbacks look quite like it does right now in the AFC.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. Like, it's an interesting comparison, the Brady Manning era, and I'm trying to remember Roethlisberger.
Yep.
But the depth of promising quarterbacks was not at all what it is now. So everybody's getting one, not everybody, but you don't want to be, you know, you don't want to be the team that doesn't take a shot at some point pretty soon at getting your guy.
Yeah.
Doesn't always work out. I'm not super enthused about Mac Jones.
No.
The Patriots. I'm not totally giving up on him, but I'm not super enthused. I do think that Tua could be one of those guys too. I mean, Tua was
– he was really good.
Tua was outstanding. Great receivers. I like – good. There's another coach to quarterback. Does it matter? I think so. But, you know, who knows with him in his health. Shoot, man, is Kenny Pickett going to be good? I feel like he might be.
He looked okay this year. So, to your point, that's just
– the Texans are about to get their guy. Whoever it is, they're about to start the clock on somebody.
Exactly. I mean, you got all these young quarterbacks in your conference that you've got to contend with, and I think you're about to have two more in your division that you're going to have to contend with. Like, I'd be surprised – well, first of all, I'd be shocked if the Texans don't take one. I'd be very surprised – if the Colts don't take one, too. Now, whether or not both of them work out, I have no idea. The odds are they probably won't. But that just it goes back to the point of kind of restarting the clock there with that new quarterback. Alex from Montreal says it's got to be Joey B. He looks poised behind an iffy offensive line. Todd from Nashville on the text line says, the quarterback that scares me the most is whoever the Titans trot out behind center. This is from Todd from Nashville on the text line. Thank you, Todd.
Wow,
I appreciate
Todd.
That.
Wow. Yeah, it's a great – it is a – oh, yeah. So that's a just side note on this. Did you see what Orlowski said?
I did not.
Friend of the show.
Yes.
And I enjoyed Dan Orlowski. He had a great breakdown of, like, oh, man, what should have been a touchdown of T.Y. Hilton for Dak Prescott, right, where Fred Warner made the great play, but it's like you had wide open T.Y. Hilton. But anyway, he said that Joe Burrow is the best quarterback in the NFL, but Patrick Mahomes is the best offensive weapon in the NFL.
Really?
Yeah, man.
Those two things don't.
They're both quarterbacks, so pick one. You can't do that. Pick one. I'm gonna take Mahomes. I mean, like you'd say, like next 5 years or whatever, because obviously Burrow's younger, but like next five, you know, whatever the duration of their primes, next 5-7 years.
Yep.
I'm gonna take Mahomes. I think this year proved a lot to me about him. And certainly he also benefits from a fantastic scheme and schemer and all that stuff.
He's
but
great.
But it's very close. It's very, very close. Burrow is fantastic. They're both Manning, Brady, those kind of guys that we will talk about 20 years from now.
Well,
for sure.
And to that point, here stands the Titans. And as we talk about all the decisions that you got to make, if you're the Titans, you got to worry about your roster. I understand that. You got to improve your offensive line. There's all sorts of internal things that you've got to worry about. But isn't, like, somewhere in the back of your mind, if you're Rand Carthon, if you're Mike Vrabel, aren't you looking around and saying, yeah, we know that eventually if we got to get to where we want to get to, we got to go through Joe Burrow. We got to go through Patrick Mahomes. We got to go through all these quarterbacks that we've talked about. That's got to be in your thought process if you're Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel.
Trevor Lawrence with the Jags next year. Bryce Young with the Texans next year. C.J. Stroud with the Colts next year. Guess what? How about Grandpa Brady and a Patrick O-line? Yeah, that's right. Division champs, baby.
I'm here for it. We'll see it. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel. We'll get his thoughts on this Tennessee basketball team and a contract extension for Josh Heupel yesterday as well. All that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning. Looking ahead to some Tennessee basketball. They're hosting the Bulldogs tonight. Big game against Texas coming up on Saturday. Looking forward to that. And to help us talk about that and more, we go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel. Mike, good morning. How are we doing?
Good. Glad to be back on with you guys.
Glad to have you back on with us. So, Mike, we got a lot to get to on the basketball front. Before we get there, I do want to get your thoughts on Josh Heupel and his contract extension, now being paid $9 million per year, signed through January of 2029. What did you make of that move by Tennessee and what that means for Josh Heupel as they move forward?
Well, it's kind of a necessary situation, obviously, but it is also, I mean, the $9 million mark is significant. Josh Heupel, as of last July, was making four-ish off his original contract, got a raise to about five last July, and now it's at nine, which puts him slotted right around fifth in the SEC with Lane Kiffin and I think Mark Stoops. So, I mean, he had to get a raise and an extension after the season he had last year. Speaks volumes to it. That's just kind of the way that the coaching contracts are going right now in terms of the figures that you're seeing, and Josh Heupel obviously earned what he's getting now.
Yeah, no doubt. I do wonder if they go 8-4 next year, which is certainly possible. You go like 8-4. I mean, that's the thing. We're talking about Tennessee football now. It's like 8-4. That sounds awful, but I mean, that's how quickly things change. But 8-4 next year, I could see people bringing up that salary, even though to me, that would still be within the realm of reasonable performance given everything that you have to consider about early stages of a program, yeah?
Well, and you see that with Rick Barnes and Rick Barnes' salary. And Tennessee fans bring that up in terms of he hasn't won in March. He's making $5 million a year. He's being paid to win in March. So, yeah, I mean, you can see that brought up, certainly. But at the same time, yeah, Tennessee probably played beyond what anyone could have imagined this year in every way. And so it is certainly a plausible situation where record-wise, you take a step back. And when going 11-2 with Tennessee's schedule in the SEC is really hard to do. When you're playing Alabama, Florida, Georgia every single year, depends on what crossover you get to the West. And obviously they went and beat LSU last year. But, yeah, winning 11 games, there's a reason Tennessee hasn't done it in 21 seasons between the two. It's hard to do.
All right, now I'm going to argue with about the Rick Barnes thing because, see, the difference there is that Rick Barnes is paid like a coach who goes to Final Four sometimes, right? I mean, Rick Barnes is paid, and I know that the salary, you know, there are other coaches, you know, it's constantly moving target, but when Philip Fulmer gave him that, the new contract, when the flirtation with UCLA was heavy, that was a deal that was what the absolute top coaches in college basketball make, and all of them at least go to Final Fours. Am I wrong about this? Is there anybody else who is in that realm who doesn't go to Final Fours?
No, and that's why it gets brought up. I think that's why you see that brought up, is he's paid $5 million to do more in March. That's kind of a comment. That's why that comes to mind in terms of Heupel doesn't match the success. It might get brought up in that similar light. But obviously coming off an 11-win season, there's going to be a little bit more grace there perhaps.
So, Mike, to that point, you had a really interesting tweet that got a lot of reaction yesterday talking about Tennessee and their basketball team. Obviously, they're ranked number 4 in the country right now. And your tweet was, quote, Tennessee ranked in the top 5 of the Associated Press poll for the 17th time in the past 5 seasons. Tennessee was ranked in the top 5 of the AP poll 17 times in the prior 70 seasons. So, obviously, that's an incredible stat that you put out there. What do you make of how Tennessee fans view that, the balance between the regular season success that they've had, which, as you pointed out, has been tremendous with Rick Barnes, and the lack of tournament success to this point? What's been your view on how Tennessee fans kind of view that as we stand here today?
Yeah, that's a great question. I've had a lot of conversations about that probably in the past 3 days, and a lot of it is centered on specifically this Tennessee team, more so than the overall past 5 years. Finding that stat was kind of just the happenstance of those conversations. And it's interesting because this Tennessee team is really good, defensively especially, obviously. Fans in basketball tend to notice offense, gravitate to offense. You know, you want to see the big plays, the dunks, the three-pointers, high-scoring games. This Tennessee team isn't sexy like that. That's not their identity. They play a completely different brand of basketball, but it's also winning basketball. And there seems to be some level of disconnect between appreciating that. I've seen debate on Twitter this week on which Tennessee team under Rick Barnes has been the best. And this one just doesn't get the respect it deserves in that conversation because it's a defensive team, not an offensive team. And it's so much easier to notice offense. So all that to say, this year's team is interesting to me because I think there's an expectation of how good it is because everyone knows who the players are. They've seen Santi, they've seen Josiah Jordan James, they've seen Olivier, they've seen Urosh. They know who these guys are and what they do. And it seems like there's almost just a waiting game to see, okay, well, what are they going to do in March this year? Because we've seen them win big in the regular season before. And that's what they've done. That's what they've done for the past 4 of the past 5 years, realistically, is win big but not have the March success. And to get to that question, winning in March is hard, and everyone knows Rick Barnes' track record in March. He has one Final Four in his career. He's got one Sweet 16 in his tenure at Tennessee, and that was that 2018-2019 team with Grant Williams, Admiral Schofield. And you look at this team that needs to be in the second weekend. Last year's team did too, realistically, but it had a tough draw with a Michigan team that was seeded 11th with a ton of talent, and Tennessee didn't have Olivier Kamwa, who probably was the most important guy in that matchup. But that's the kind of stuff that happens in March. So I get the conversation there, but I think there's also a need to notice Tennessee basketball didn't used to have regular season success that let them have March success. right now they're being put in position to have March success with the regular seasons they're having. It just needs to translate at some point.
So how much have you noticed that from the fan base? I saw Wes Rucker going back and forth with people on Twitter about this over the last couple of days of maybe the atmosphere in Thompson Bowling Arena not being what he thought it would be, especially for a team as good as Tennessee has been. Have you noticed that with the fan base, that they're kind of in wait-and-see mode with this team just based on the lack of tournament success? And has that kind of spilled over into the atmosphere in your mind?
Well, to be fair, there's only been one relevant home game this year.
That is true.
Kentucky's the only notable home game. There were no big non-conference games. And I think I did think that was a muted environment. The Kentucky environment wasn't as good as it's been for the big games. I mean, you look at the end of last season, Tennessee had Arkansas, Kentucky, Auburn, I think three straight weekends, and all environments were absolutely electric. I left with a headache every single game. Arizona last year was kind of that same conversation. I didn't think it was a great environment against Kentucky. Now, it wasn't a great game on the court either, which obviously there's a correlation between the two things, but I think you'd also hear probably from those on the court that they'd probably want the fans to be in the game regardless, because there's going to be energy given both ways, free-flowing, chicken and egg sort of deal. But, yeah, I think the biggest challenge there is Tennessee just hasn't had the home schedule it's had. I do think there is an element of tuning in aggressively more in mid-February, because when you look at those big environments last year, that's when those ones were.
Yeah, I mean, I was there that day. I think Kentucky punched the atmosphere in the mouth that day. I think if it had not been almost instantly like this, what's going on with these guys? You know, I think it could have been a lot better that day. But to that point, Mike, well, here, let me ask you this one. Last year's team, because I've seen some of this on the 18-19 team and this team, and if you correct me if I'm wrong, I think 18-19 actually went down quite a bit defensively from 17-18, correct? 17-18, yeah. 18-19, they ultimately just weren't good enough defensively. But let me ask you this. Last year's team, at its very best against this year's team at its very best, who wins?
That's hard. This year's team is better defensively.
No doubt.
But the Kennedy Chandler factor is interesting in that, because that's the kind of guy that this team doesn't have necessarily. Zakai's done a great job of becoming a well-rounded point guard, but Kennedy Chandler at point is different. What Tennessee was able to do last year with Kennedy, Zakai, and Santi on the floor at the same time was lethal. This team defensively, though, is so good, so that's really hard. But I think last year's team, where it was playing in the SEC tournament, probably wins that game.
I just don't trust this team. I like this team so much, Mike. It's so fun to watch, and I'm with you. I don't know how you can't love watching this team play defense. It's, I mean, and the depth inside, the waves of bodies that Rick has built a fantastic roster. But that Kentucky game, like, it just, to me, it like slapped me in the face with, oh my gosh, it felt so much like Michigan. We talked about it after that game, where it's like they just resort to just, they hope that the threes will fall. And like, I feel like this team doesn't have to be like that. They should take advantage of, you know, Phillips more, and even Plavšić, like that day, should have got more shots. But I don't know. You tell me why this team can be trusted.
Well, Julian Phillips is the key to that. I thought the way that he played at Mississippi State showed why Tennessee needs him to be exactly that player. Because that was a game, I thought at halftime Tennessee was destined to lose that game. They played lousy basketball for about 12 minutes. Turnovers all over the place. And Julian Phillips, you can talk all you want about Zakai scoring in the second half. He was phenomenal. 23 points in the game, 4-4 from three in the second half. Julian Phillips, the first play out of halftime, drove the rim, got a shot block, got the rebound, got blocked again, didn't score, but kept going the whole half. Wasn't deterred by any of that. I thought that was the best game he's played here. And that's the player that Tennessee needs. That's what a five-star freshman wing who could be a one-and-done needs to look like more often. And that elevates Tennessee's ceiling in so many ways, because he can score at all three levels. If he's doing that, it's going to open up the floor a little bit more. And I do think where Tennessee can get more exciting, they've played the lineup that I thought was the inevitable lineup now. The starting lineup of Santiago Vescovi, Zakai Ziegler at guard, Josiah Jordan-James, Julian Phillips on the wings, and Olivier Kamwa inside. It's a scary athletic lineup, really good defensively, and it can score in a lot of ways. I think it's more dynamic for them than the starting lineup of Uroš Plavšić and Olivier Kamwa inside. So that lineup to me is going to be interesting to watch moving forward too, because that's something that when you look back at that 2018-19 team, that lineup Rick Barnes would go to at the end of the game with Lamonte Turner, Jordan Bone, Jordan Bowden, Grant Williams, Admiral Schofield, killed people at the end of games. And I'm curious to see what this lineup can become in that way.
Tennessee back at it tonight, taking on Georgia at Thompson Bowling Arena. Top 10 matchup against Texas coming up in the SEC Big 12 Challenge on Saturday as well. So looking forward to that. Mike, great stuff as always. Thanks for being with us this morning, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you guys for having me.
Absolutely. Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Row. We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 7:45. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. And it is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. Joe Rexroad, I turn things over to you.
So to your point here, so Mel Kiper, has he changed? So he doesn't like believe that Will Levis is number one anymore? He doesn't like Will Levis anymore?
He had Jalen Carter going one to the Bears, which makes sense. I mean, he's not projecting a trade. But then at number two, in his mock draft 1.0, he's got C.J. Stroud.
Well, I guess
the Texans.
I guess it's two different things, right? I mean, he can still believe that Will Levis is number one. He just doesn't think they're going to take him.
On his big board, he wasn't even number one anymore.
Oh, is that right? It's not number one on his big board?
What are we doing?
So, wow. Very disappointed, Mel. Also disappointed is a quick little sub-rant. Baseball Hall of Fame voters, Scott Rolen is in, but Lou Whitaker, who destroys him by any measure, is still not in. I mean, you're just terrible.
Some of the Hall of Fame voting.
You're just terrible.
Especially for some reason in baseball and to some degree hockey. It's a little strange.
Just, yeah, bizarre. But today I'm going to talk about a life decision that I'm not kidding, that I'm seriously thinking about making. Okay. And I got to give a coworker, you know, he started me thinking about this. But I'm talking about this today because yesterday I got on Twitter and I saw stuff about DeMar Hamlin. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay. And then I went there and I saw, like, he's been cloned and he's making Illuminati signs or something in the freaking press box.
Oh, God.
And for one thing, it's, again, a reminder that we're all doomed. We're going to die. the internet's going to kill us, okay? But let me tell you something. The people who are, like, there are people who are supposed to be, like, educated humans who are, like, pushing this stuff. I mean, it's scary as hell. So that's just the latest example of, I think I might get off Twitter. The problem with getting off Twitter is, because Kyle Tucker's done it, and I've thought about it, and I'm kind of jealous of him. Wright Thompson, if you guys know who Wright Thompson is, and he did this a few years ago, but he's a writer for ESPN, or I don't even know if he works for ESPN anymore, but I actually know him a little bit through Charles Robinson, and he said it was the greatest thing he's ever done. And other people have said that, right? There's been,
course.
And Kyle Tucker, man, he seemed kind of happy when I saw him a couple weeks ago in Knoxville. I'm not going to lie. He seemed kind of content with life. And look, we both work for The Athletic, and no one's, as far as I know, reprimanded him. So apparently it's cool to do that.
It's all good.
Because the thing is, like, with us, with Twitter, a lot of Twitter is
work.
It's work related. Like, you need to be on Twitter and, tweet out the who we have our guest, or here's my article.
I'm on Twitter. Yes, the only reason.
So that's not the only reason I'm on Twitter. I'm on Twitter because it does help me as a news feed. Like, you follow whoever you want, and of course I follow like a bunch of mostly like sports stuff and news organizations and stuff, and so it's how I stay informed. But it's gotten so gross, and also just like, it's just so depressing. Like, when I see this DeMar Hamlin stuff, I mean, it's crazy, man. And that's just the latest example. But can I get off Twitter and still like be informed and still kind of like, like feel connected, to the world? Cause I'm on Twitter a lot every day, not tweeting a lot, but like during business hours, I'm pretty regularly looking at Twitter, and I read a lot of things that I hit the link on Twitter.
I think you can do it. Maybe try it for like a week first.
So
test it out.
Just like
test drive.
Just like what? Take the app. I've done that before. Yeah. Go on vacation and remove the app from your phone or whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about
deactivating,
deleting my account.
Yeah. That's a big step.
Yeah, it's hard. I've tried to do the, vacation. I've done the delete the app from the phone.
Yeah.
And then I feel like when you get back into work, especially, NFL offseason and like breaking news and Adam Schefter, they're all on Twitter, right? You see it before you see it on the TV screen. So it is really helpful.
Yeah.
I almost just wish you could.
But won't you like eventually
filter
it out? Yeah. You like eventually you'll see it though, right? Like it's.
Yeah, but it is. Well, I mean, on this show many times, a lot of times, like, we have our text group message, Michelle sees something and throws it to us, and boom, you talk about it.
Exactly.
So basically, like, if I were to do this, I would be really relying on other people to.
You would.
But yeah. And that, look, it's not, there's times, and I'm not a beat writer, so that's different. As a beat writer, I don't think you could do it. Now, Kyle covers Kentucky's a beat, but it's still a bit, it's a little bit different. I mean, I think a lot of jobs in media, you couldn't do it because you have to, like, you can't be like a few minutes late on something. But in theory, I could.
Yeah,
and then could you guys just help me, hold my hand, just tell me what's happening in the world?
Every 30 minutes.
Do you feel a little lost?
What's that?
Do you think you'd feel a little lost at first?
Oh, yeah. No, that's the biggest, because again, I've become so reliant on it just as a source of information. But
I mean, the ESPN app, though, or whatever, NBC Sports, CBS Sports, I know it's different, but you could do like the app pushes, so you get NFL Network app, all those stuff come out.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I guess you could also go the burner route, so like people don't talk to you anymore, so like the dude who's like trying to get me to wash his car or whatever,
Well, he lost the – oh. Actually,
well, apparently he won the bet, but if you're muted, I didn't see your crap. Go away.
I think we all have him muted.
Well, yeah, I hope so. I hope the world has him muted. But there's just another example of why Twitter is problematic.
A cesspool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's a cesspool.
I don't know. I go back and forth, but I actually, like at first when Kyle did it, I was just like, what are you? You can't do that. And now I'm like,
He's so happy.
I think he's happy. I think he's got a happier life now.
Shane in the borough on the text line says, Joe, if you get off Twitter, I'll give you my personal number so you can call me and I'll keep you up to date. This is from Shane in the borough.
Okay.
Thanks for your help, Shane.
I appreciate
that.
Yeah,
Chase texted us and said, new segment idea, what Joe missed on Twitter.
Maybe so.
Jeremy says, just stop following Stillman and you'll be fine. Hey, dude, I muted his ass back in March.
A long time ago.
Don't worry about that.
Oh, yes. Garrison on the text line says, great idea. I got off Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram 2 years ago, and it has been fantastic. This is from Garrison on the text line.
Yeah. Well, Facebook, I've said
you've long since been off of that.
Well, I technically have an account, but I don't look at it.
Katie made it for you?
Yeah, she did. She made it for me. And so, like, when she has cute – by the way, Katie got back on Facebook.
Oh, she did?
She did. Yes, it was a long, arduous process, but she did. And she needs that for her job. Like, for her – like, there's no – she has no – Like she has to be on there a lot for her job. Yeah, but that place is no thank you.
Maybe it's time, finally, for you to make the transition to go from Twitter maybe to TikTok.
TikTok.
Yes.
Maybe it's time.
Like, does TikTok – I mean, in all seriousness, I make fun of TikTok, but does TikTok – I don't – some Jack from Nashville says turn off your notifications. I don't do notifications. Does TikTok actually have – relevant crap, or is it just people dancing and cooking?
No, it's, you know, it's relevant.
Stir fry.
Some of it's relevant.
Yeah.
I mean, you can follow, like, you
I
can follow ESPN. I am very much on it, everyone. But also, TikTok is dangerous because I will find myself scrolling and then I'll look up and I'll be like, I was just buried in my phone for the last half hour, 45 minutes.
See, that's what I'm trying to get away from.
Which is bad. Yeah.
Yes. Big time. But Dennis says, it's my new morning paper. And that's. That's pretty much the same thing. But it's like a morning paper with, I don't know, like tentacles that grab you and, you know.
Pull your eyes into
your
phone.
Brain. Yeah.
This has been the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad.
We'll see.
We'll take your advice at 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Paul Kaharski from paulkaharski.com. We'll get his thoughts on the Tennessee Titans. That is coming up next. Preds fans, hang out tomorrow before the Preds game at the Superbook Lounge and Landshark Bar and Grill, Margaritaville on Broadway with 1025-1063 The Game. Place your bets with Superbook and enjoy great food and drink specials. Plus, enter for a chance to win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063 The Game.